Thank you, Jesus, for this day. Amen. Well, I guess kids can go to their Sunday school classes if they haven't already. Adults, we will be in here with me. Good morning. And happy Mother's Day. Praise God. We made it another day, moms. We made it another day. Let us rejoice in that. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I wish it was sunny, but that's okay. This is still the day that the Lord has made. Amen. So it is an honor to be teaching Sunday school this morning, a very special day. And before I get started, I just want to say that sometimes holidays like this can be bittersweet for some of us. And I just want to recognize that not every person's experience with their parents is the same. And we are not all in the same season of life. But we were all children at some point, right? Some longer than others. And although we may not have the same relationship dynamics or childhood memories with our parental figures, today I do aim to share a lesson that the Lord has for us. And in doing so, I hope and pray that God will be glorified and that we will be blessed. Amen. So why don't we stand? And we will go into Exodus 20, verse 12. And it says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee." I'm going to ask my mother-in-law, if you don't mind, Sister Doris, can you pray for us this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. In the scripture, the word honor sometimes has different meanings, but it mainly means to honor is to have a higher quality or virtue associated with respect, dignity, and esteem. Sounds pretty good. When we show honor, we are holding that person we're honoring up higher. To honor is to have a high reverence. And this wasn't just a commandment reserved for only children, though there are specifics to that in the scripture. But this is for all of God's people, to treat your parents with a different level of respect. Amen? And within the Hebrew culture back then, and probably still now, motherhood was highly respected. It wasn't just deep love, but a mother also met the needs and taught their children many things, especially about the Lord and the law. She was mother and teacher. Her influence is a great one. In the book of Exodus, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, we see a command to honor thy father and thy mother. And in doing so, the reward is a long life in a fruitful land. Both parents matter to God, and both parents should matter to their offspring. It is an equal honor system. But for those who are disobedient to their faithful parental figures, or, on the other side, for those trusted parental figures who dishonor their God-given children, the Lord does place consequences. So what does this tell us? This tells us that it is not appropriate for us to love and honor God while dishonoring our parents or dishonoring our influence over our children. Honor begins with God, and honor begins in our home. Amen. Both the Old and the New Testament reiterate the importance of motherhood. The Bible features powerful mothers with powerful influence, both positive and, unfortunately, negative. So I'd like to go through just a few examples with you this morning. And like I said, I understand the different ages that we have here, the different experiences that we have. And many do have parents who have passed away. But our experiences and our memories do not leave us. And our relationship with our parents, or lack thereof, does shape who we become. And I believe that today, the Lord does want to minister and bless and heal some inner children today. Amen. In the book of Exodus, Israel was multiplying in wisdom and people. Pharaoh notices this, and he orders all the midwives to kill the Hebrew sons and save the daughters. But thankfully, the midwives do not obey, fearing the Lord more than Pharaoh. Outraged, he orders that all the Hebrew sons be tossed into the river. Very cruel and selfish. But Jochebed hid Moses for 3 months before she had to take a leap of faith. When she could not hide him any longer, Jochebed made Moses a little ark and laid it on the river. Can you imagine that? Imagine that kind of decision that you had to make as a mother. If he stays with me, he could die. But if I let him go, he could also die. Jochebed had to trust that God would step in. And there is something to be said about a mother's love that just has to trust the Lord with her baby. Amen. Exodus 2:5-10. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw that the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." Wow, she even got paid to be the mother. God will take care of you. And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Another positive example of motherhood in the Old Testament is that of Samuel's mother, Hannah. She was daily ridiculed by her husband's other wife, who had no problem bearing children. But Hannah's womb was empty. And that empty womb brought forth powerful prayers to the Lord. Hannah promised that if she did have a son, she would dedicate him back to God. And she did. When God enabled Hannah to conceive and birth Samuel, she brought him to the temple to live with Eli, the priest. A priest whose own children had more than questionable influence. What faith Hannah must have had in the Lord to hand over her precious miracle boy, her precious baby, to the Lord and into the hands of this priest who didn't even have a handle on his own children. But her influence on Samuel was making sure he was taken care of, not just physically, but also spiritually, as she adored her God in action and not just words. This motherly influence contributed to Samuel's success as one of the most prolific prophets in the world. 1 Samuel 2:1-2. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. neither is there any rock like our God. Amen. That just gives you a small glimpse into the heart of Hannah. The book of Proverbs is also full of wise counsel concerning reverence, love, and obedience as a son towards both parents, but especially towards the mother. Proverbs 31:1 says, "The words of King Lemuel," I'm going to just say Lemuel, who knows, "the prophecy that his mother taught him." So King Lemuel shares a tribute he learned from his mother in Proverbs 31. And as I was studying, there's some speculation about who he actually is. Some people think that he can actually be Solomon, and it's just a different name. We know that Solomon did write most of Proverbs, but this is just a different kind of name that comes up that we haven't heard elsewhere. But the focus really is not on him. It is on the woman who raised him. His mother impacted his life so much that he took time to write about it, what he learned, what she taught him, and we are able to read it today. Amen. What a mother teaches us can feed the generations to come. What is imputed into us leaves an impression and will influence others as time goes on, whether good or whether bad. Jumping down to Proverbs 31, 25 through 31. "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." A true mother is an advocate for her child. She nurtures when faced with her child's immaturity. That is going to happen, because children are not adults. And yet, we so often expect a child to act with a maturity that they have not yet developed yet. And we keep waiting, and we keep patiently waiting for that to develop. But the mother honored in Proverbs understood this and taught accordingly. She provided him with these valuable lessons so that over time he could grasp real wisdom and understanding for himself. That is what a good mother should do. She prepares her children for the future by taking time to slow down and teach for the sake of the child. This unselfish advocacy is also displayed when King Solomon finds himself in the middle of two mothers fighting over one living baby. In 1 Kings 3, there are two women who give birth to their babies at the same time. But at night, one dies, and the mother swaps them so that she now has the living one. The second mother is devastated when she realizes the switch. In verse 21, she says, "Behold, it is not my son, which I did bear." See, a parent knows their child, even if they're just a newborn, a couple days old. We know our children. I can't tell you how many times when Brother Jonathan and I would be sitting back there during Sunday school and we would be distracted by a loud cackle in the back room, and we would give each other the look like, yeah, that's our David. We could hear him laughing back there. We can spot that laugh. Or when we're at a family gathering and we hear a loud voice, we'll go, yeah, that's our Samuel. Because an in-tune parent knows their kids. And our Father knows us too. So the second mother confronts the first and is met with lies and manipulation. But the Lord gives wisdom, and King Solomon then has an unconventional approach to solving this issue. 1 Kings 3, 25 through 27. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman who the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it, but the other one. Let it neither be mine nor thine. I don't want it to be mine, and I don't want it to be yours. Divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it, because she is the mother thereof. You know, sometimes we will be selfish, and we will be unwise as parents. We're going to make choices that aren't the best. Mothers and fathers alike won't get this parenting thing perfect. But when it comes down to the wire, I do believe a good parent does advocate for their child. Amen. It can be challenging when we look at our own childhoods and upbringings and the mistakes that our own parents have made, whether we want to admit it or not. We can have a hard time just focusing on the things that they did right. How can we honor our parents when we see hard truths like this? In 2 Chronicles 15, there was a new king of Judah named Asa. He did not have the best parental influences, and yet he still wanted to honor the Lord. He still loved the Lord. Previous kings chose to disregard God's ways, which led to the destruction of both the army of Judah and the temple of the Lord. But encouraged by a prophet sent by God, King Asa began to change the nation. He started to reform the people, teaching them, and the people could see that God was with King Asa, and they followed his lead. They believed in him. But soon, the king would face a very personal problem that his own queen had forsaken the God he served and honored. 2 Chronicles 15, 16 says, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. Now we know the commandment says, honor your father and your mother. But how could he do that here? How can you do that if history tells you they have not? Maacah was King Asa's grandmother, but she stepped into the role of mother. She had great influence over him, but also over the kingdom, and he knew it. If he had allowed her to continue promoting idolatry, it would cause the people to fall back into their sinful ways. It would erase all the good he was trying to do, all the progress that he was trying to make in the name of the Lord. And the king of Judah decided that he had to remove her as queen. That was probably not very easy. And remove her idols. He took away her influence over the people that God had called him to lead and to serve. Nowadays, we probably would call that boundaries, which don't get me started on that. But it's truly wisdom from the Lord right here. That's not easy. But it comes to the point where we have to honor and obey God over what mistakes our parents have made. But he didn't just destroy the idols. King Asa also honored what his father dedicated to the house of God and added his own. His focus wasn't only on the negative influence. King Asa, I'm actually going to pull it up because I forgot the scripture here. King Asa honored what was done right. Amen. And he focused on the good and not the not good. And he made sure to give God praise through it all. And in 2 Chronicles 15, 17 says, but the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. And in verse 18, it says, and he brought unto the house of God the things that his father had dedicated, and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 5th and 13th year of the reign of Asa. Maacah was King Asa's grandmother. She had great influence on his life. But he had to look to God first. So, once he removed the idols and removed her influence, he focused on what was right, what was left over. You can add to what your parents did right. We can hold on to those dedicated sacrifices. We can add to the good things and bring honor to our parents and to God. Amen. Proverbs 25:4 says, take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. The scripture talks a lot about refining silver or gold. When impurities are removed, only the best will be left. For us, that comes with forgiveness. As the Lord has forgiven our own shortcomings, we must also forgive their shortcomings. Be reminded that there is only one Father who is perfect. He does everything right. Unfortunately, we do not. So maybe this year we can decide to finally forgive our parents for not being perfect, to dedicate the good things to the Lord so that the next generation can have something to add to. Amen. And whether your parents are still among us or not, this still applies because I know that God wants to heal an inner child in all of us. And he wants to remind you that he is with you. A New Testament example for us is the woman that God chose to be his own earthly mother. Now, why would the God of heaven choose to even have parents? If I was God, I would not have chose that. But God came to make himself known and understood and establish a new covenant. And as flesh, Jesus obeyed the law to honor his father and his mother as an example to his people. The Lord Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man, submitted himself under the authority of a parental unit. This won't make sense to people who have fractured relationships with authority. And it is hard for us to understand this level of humility that the Lord demonstrated. He's God. He does not need parents. He's all powerful. But his flesh did. His will as a man did. And as Jesus was taught and grew and submitted to them as a child, it left us with a beautiful example of honoring parents. Even as the Messiah, Jesus honored Joseph and Mary. To honor a parent is not just to do what they say. I wish it was only that. But it's to take the good that you have learned from them and carry it with you to bless other people. And this is still possible if your examples of earthly parents have fallen short. An undefiled womb within a woman who embodied high quality character. As the angel reveals to Mary God's plans that she would become his mother, her response is this, Luke 1:38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Be it unto me. Not my will, Lord, but yours. Mary had a heart of adoration for her God. Not many women could have endured the public humiliation and the shame that would surround an engaged, pregnant, self-proclaimed virgin. Yeah, sure you are. Yet her heart focused on God. She faced persecution and even death. She could have been stoned to death in that culture. But she loved the Lord, and she honored his word. Be it unto me. Whatever happens, Lord, happens. I trust you. And we get more of a look into her heart as it was so focused on God in Luke 1:46 through 49. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. She's talking about herself. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. Why was she blessed? For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. She's blessed because of the Lord. And holy is his name, not her name. You might remember that I did teach a message, the magnification of Mary, back in, December. You know, if Mary saw the way that she was lifted up in the generation today and in the world, I don't think she would like it very much. She knew where her glory came from, and it was not from herself. This is the heart of the woman who raised little Jesus. We don't hear much about that, but she raised him and then prepared him for that crucial moment on Calvary. And as the Lord was dying on the cross, surrounded by the few that were not ashamed to be associated with him, a lot left, but some stayed. And his mother was the one who stayed too. Jesus turned to his mother Mary, and he honors her one last time in John 19:25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Mary stood by the cross as she watched her son suffer. It was not recorded that she wailed or made a scene, but I can guarantee that her heart was suffering along with her son, the one she raised, the one she fed, the one she taught, now dying on the cross, not just for her sins, but the sins of the world. We talk about the sacrifice of Christ, but there's also a sacrifice of a mother giving your child away to do what God has asked him to do. Perhaps Mary believed, and I do believe, that she fully understood the mission, and she had faith of the resurrection. He's going to come back, but not as my baby, as my Savior. Watching her son go through that process. And as she stands in loving support, as a good mother does, Jesus turns to her and to John the disciple and invites a new relation between them. Mother, love him like your own son. And John, take care of her like she is your own mother. I am leaving, but the responsibility has been passed. Take care of my mom. As a wife of one hardworking husband and the mother of two sweet but very sour and active boys, I do sometimes say, and maybe gripe, forgive me, Lord, that I am the only girl in the house and it can be challenging. I don't say that as a victim or to be ugly, just as the truth. There's an influence that I have as a mother that is just different. I am constantly reminded that I am not like these boys. That I am wired very different. That what I say and what I do creates the temperature of the home. And I once heard years ago during a ladies' conference that a woman is the thermometer and the barometer of the house. Our attitudes and our actions affect the feeling of the atmosphere. And the Lord continues to open my eyes to the influence that I myself have as a mother. And while it can be scary and the responsibility heavy, and some days I go, here you go, you can have this back now. This influence is too great. Take it from my hands. Pass the cup, Lord. There's also nothing like it. As I try and humble myself before the Lord the best that I can, I'm so grateful that he guides me as I guide my children. Aren't we thankful this morning that we have a God who gives us strength and is willing to give us wisdom when we face hard things? Things that we sit there and we're like, what is happening? What is going on? But nothing takes the Lord by surprise. Amen. What a relief that we have a Father in heaven who blesses those who seek for direction. Amen. So how do you honor your father and your mother? I believe it's by remembering what they did right and adding to it the right way. Understanding that legacy is a process and God can change the course of anything. God can change your influence even if you have not had godly influences. By living a life of truth, humility, and wisdom as you follow your Heavenly Father, he will give you the things that you need to make a good difference. Amen. And by keeping the good while forgiving the not so good, he makes you more like him, where we are able to face hard things, but we are not alone. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitudes of sins. We know that charity means love. And I am so thankful for this verse, that love can cover a multitude of sins. It was because of the Lord's love that he died on the cross for us. It was because of Mary's love that she was able to let go. And it is God's love that enables us now to face hard things. And when we are surrounded by a multitude of sins, it is covered by his powerful love. I do have this scripture in our master bathroom. I've had it for probably the last year. And I don't want to ever forget it. I don't want to forget the healing power of love when everything is crazy, when people are crazy, when family's crazy. When we are faced with hard things and we're like, God, this is too great. Charity covereth a multitude of sins. And I'm thankful that we have the beautiful love from our Father in heaven. As we reflect on the influence of our own mother and how that has shaped us as a person, I want to encourage you today to be encouraged that above all things, past, future, present, love shall cover the multitude of sins. Whatever things that have happened in the past, we can't change. But God can use all things for his glory and for the good to those who love him. Amen. God's love overshadows our shortcomings and our mistakes, but also highlights the good things. So I encourage you today to let's focus on the good, let go and forgive everything else, and honor what is left. Amen. I know we're kind of early, but I'm done. So why don't we stand and we'll just go to the Lord in prayer. And then we could take time to maybe fellowship quietly while the children are having their time. Don't disturb the children. They need it. No. Lord, we just want to say thank you for your love. We are so grateful, Lord, that your love is so powerful. It covers all sins. God, help us if we are discouraged, if there's something that has happened in our past or maybe even our present that we just can't see anything good coming from it. Lord God, you refine us. You make us new. And you can turn all situations for good as long as we trust you and have faith that you will always bring forth the good. I pray, Lord God, over every person in this place. I hope, Lord Jesus, that our inner child is somewhat healed today, that whatever has happened in the past, help us to forgive and let it go, and help us to bring honor to our Father and our Mother by remembering the good, and help us, Lord Jesus, to have the wisdom and the understanding to add to that so that the next generation can have something good to add to. We pray, Lord God, for the ministry of this church later today. And we pray, Lord God, for all of those who are going to spend time with their mothers today. We pray, Lord God, that it's going to be a time of beautiful fellowship, and let your love shine through. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed. Thank you.